Hi, Howard.
You are tuned into Remote Control. This is episode 38, where DJ Valentine and myself, TFU and Mike, talk about the new Starz series counterpart, season 1, episode 6. Act like you've been here before. Enjoy the show, everybody.
Should I be drafting a complaint about Howard Silk?
No, don't. I'll take care of it. Thank you. I'm going out.
What about you at 2 o'clock?
Oh, you're alive. Sorry, I wasn't sure.
I've been busy. How's your internal search going?
Brilliantly well. There's a mole in strategy. It's official. We confirmed it with the source.
Yeah, no shit. Do you know what section?
No, Aldrich's looking into it now. And if you don't start coming into work, he's going to start looking at you too. Is that what you want? What's this?
This is what Emily was working on. Stolen internal documents taken from your office, passed to the outside.
This is my floor code.
Yes, it is.
These documents are stolen from my department.
Yes, as I said, you have a mole.
And when were you planning on showing me
these? How about right now?
And what about Baldwin?
We will find Baldwin. This is more important. You find out who those came from. I'm going to keep going through all this.
I'll be at the Walcott Hotel. I'll spend another minute in that office. You know, it's my birthday today. I'm supposed to be hosting a dinner party tonight. Friends, colleagues. Who knows? Probably inviting this mole into my house.
Yeah. Look into those memos.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm playing my part. Play yours.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network. This is our current TV podcast talking about television shows from 2000 to whatever now is, and sometimes we go back in time as well. I'm, of course, TFU and Mike. Joining me is my, I don't know which one of us is the eviler one, but the counterpart to myself is trying to be DJV from Simplistic Reviews. Hello, sir.
Six big devils from Japan. Quickly forgot how to waltz. How you doing?
Oh, boy. All of that reminds me of... Tell me, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The pangram. I love pangram. I love it. I was like, when they started doing it, I was like, hey, I know those. I've made up some of my, myself. But yeah. This episode is the what the fuck episode. Like, what the fuck?
Each episode as it's going along continues to be what the fuck. Like, last episode was all, like, back and forth, no idea, you know, so much spy espionage things. Episode 6, the episode we've been talking about since almost episode 1, act like you've been here before.
This was the spiest of the spy stuff.
Yeah, I would say so.
A lot of spy stuff. A lot of, you find a body, you got a little infiltration, you know, a mole hunt, a misdirect. You got a lot of spy stuff going on in this episode.
Somebody call Ethan Hunt.
Like, no, Ethan Hunt would be dead at this point. I don't think Ethan would make it past. He'd have to hang up the side of a plane to get through all this, you know, this Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy-esque duplicateness. And oh, by the way, kudos for having a Prince reference, by the way. Yes, thank you very much. First thing I see is Prince reference. I'm in.
You can't have that album over here. He's been dead for blah blah blah. So
they've got Prince over there. I want to go back to that world.
Exactly. Like, I mean, that does kind of beg the question, like, seriously, you cannot have a Prince album on that world because the dude is dead? Like,
that album, I think that album was a new album. It wasn't like an old Rob.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense then. Okay.
They're going to say, hey, it's one of his lost, because Prince has like 7,000 songs that are just
lost in the ether.
Somewhere. Yeah. They're going to say it's a vault album or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're
just waiting for Dot Warner to get, you know, show her fingerprints.
My God. Oh, and you know what's funny? I don't know if this was said. I know it was hinted at, and I just didn't get it, and now I got it from the beginning of this episode, and it's just very cleverly done. It was so clever, I went right over my head. They don't have cell phones over the other side. I know during that Richard Schiff episode, Peter Quayle's phone goes off, and then the guy, the douchebag ambassador, goes, oh, don't worry, we take our little glimpses, and I know what he's talking about. And now I realize, oh, because he hit his cell phone because they don't have cell phones over there. Because at the beginning of this episode, that guy doesn't know how to use a cell phone because they don't have them over there. It's like, yeah. Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that One World has and the other one doesn't, and it's just crazy. So crazy. I'm like, when I reach, and we're not going to jump immediately to the end, but I have to, like, the ending, like, seriously, I love and I hate how this show does the endings, where they just leave you on a moment, and then it just immediately cuts to the credits, and I'm like, wait, that's it? Really?
And that twist, it's funny, because it's been in our face the entire time. Until it started to happen, I didn't realize, like, you know, we've never seen his wife. We've never seen Peter's wife. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wait a minute. And, like right as the door starts moving, I'm like, oh, it's going to be that chick where I can't remember her name.
Claire.
Claire. and when Baldwin confronts her at the grocery store, he goes, you think that something about your happy life and whatnot. It all started to click in my mind, like, oh, wait, she's the freaking spy the whole time. It's just such a clever... It was such a clever reveal.
It's Quayle. It's been him all this time. So what are we gonna do about him?
How was your day, birthday boy?
Yeah, it was fine.
Something wrong?
No, I'm just exhausted.
Right. Well, you have a long night ahead. Do you mind getting the steak out of the oven? I've asked people to start showing up at 8. Bet your pretty neck I do.
And now I'm kind of like worried for Peter, because I'm like, I don't think he's gonna have an easy time convincing people it's not him.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Because she essentially is setting him up in case she does get caught that it's not her, it's him.
Oh yeah. Well, they mention his name, Aldridge or whatever.
I call him Black. We call him the Blacklist.
Yeah, the Blacklist guy. He basically says, "Oh, it's, you know, it's the guy that's been in front of us all the time. It's Quayle. Quayle is the
perfect mole, perfect whatever."
Yeah. Poor Heinrich. That's just the poor butcher. He got butchered.
we knew that was coming, but the whole getting rid of the identity thing is like, oh, that's rough, because you can't even.
Yep.
They have to do that sort of thing over there.
Did you at all, at any point in time, feel like you didn't know which Howard was which?
There was one where he was in an apartment. And I think he was drinking coffee. And then when I think Peter comes to visit him, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, this is the other one. Like, for half a second, I was like, wait, where are we? Oh, yeah, because they're both, like, in the same kind of clothes or whatnot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, subtle stuff you got to, like, pay attention to in their mannerisms where you're kind of, like, after a couple seconds, you're like, oh, wait, this is Bad Howard.
Yeah, like, even Good Howard, when he's talking in this episode, I almost thought it was Bad Howard because he has changed slightly in his attitude a little bit. Mm. Yeah, like,
there's no smirk behind his wise-assness. That's I know it's not Bad Howard.
Yeah.
Because when Good Howard's doing it, you can tell he's kind of like...
Really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like talking through the left side of his face at this point.
He's kind of like in an upward inflection, like, did I touch a nerve? Like, he's not like being a dick. He's kind of like pretending to be a dick. Because when Bad Howard's a dick, you know it, right? Okay. he's almost like smirking when he does it. Good Howard's being a dick, it's kind of like, you know, some kind of sincerity behind it.
I swear to God, man. J.K. Simmons has basically redefined fuck off, in my opinion. Like... It's like two words in the English language that have just, you know, have been said for God knows how long, and it takes this one actor in this one assholish role to just, like, make them mean the most that they could ever mean.
I'm just so... It makes me laugh that he just, like, I'm not going back to work. And you know what? At the end of this episode... No, not at that point where... Peter comes to visit him and they have that conversation about, I'm going to stay behind and I'm going to read all this documents.
Mm.
I don't think Bad Howard has any intention of going back to his world. I think he's just like, all right, we're going to send Good Howard over there and I'll just keep this thing going. Like, it isn't.
Well,
remember, his plan was like to get a visa status so he can just go back and forth. But I don't think he has any... It doesn't seem like he's, one, in a rush. Two, I don't think he wants to go back.
I don't think he wants to go back either, because essentially the two Howards have essentially switched places. Fully switched places in my mind, because Bad Howard, in his world, he's an asshole husband, ex-husband, whatever. He's a deadbeat dad, kind of, sort of, not really, but... You know, he's a really, really bad guy. And he is a bad guy, but in this sense of, you know, responsibilities, of being married, of being this. And yeah, sure, they split up, whatever, fine. But, you know, you have a child with that person. You know, you can't just... I mean, you can just say, fuck off, but you really shouldn't. And, you know, I think the appeal for Bad Howard in Good Howard's world is... Emily is either in a coma, dying, whatever. And he has more of a... Like, it's almost like they had an affair, even though they were just contacts with each other, like information passers. Mm-hmm. Like, that line that I put in last week's episode about, you know, all this time together and, you know, you never let me in or you never let me get closer, whatever it is. Right. Like, that line that Bad Howard said to, quote-unquote, good Emily, spy Emily, whatever... that's in the coma, it's like, I think that's why Bad Howard likes being in Good Howard's world, is because he doesn't have to worry about a child, he doesn't really have to worry about his wife, because
impunity. No, Good Howard over there is nobody, so he can just walk around in broad daylight, nobody's going to F with him.
Oh, the lie detector scene, wow.
you mean the Blade Runner scene?
Yeah.
It's
like...
I mean, and Good Howard is kind of living vicariously... They're both living vicariously through each other, because Good Howard gets the family that he never thought he had with, you know, though they're not exactly the same people, they are the same people. So it's kind of like a do-over. And I like that scene where he finds the compass... And it's like, you know, he smiles, and because his wife gives him like a little thing, and he reads the inscription, and he opens it, and sees that it's smashed, and like right there in my mind, I go, Bad Howard threw this against the wall. I can tell this already. It's like you just tell that whatever the relationship between Bad Howard and other Emily, is Good Howard is almost trying to just, I don't want to say fix. He's just trying to insert himself and redo it. He's kind of retcon his relationship with his family.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And then Baldwin, man, holy crap! Like, damn.
I don't know about Baldwin. This episode kind of made me a little worried about that character, because it seems like she's kind of spinning her wheels in what she's supposed to do. At first, yeah. With this new girl, she said her name, I forgot it. The cafe. Girl.
Yeah, that's one I don't remember at all either.
I think she said her name once, but I didn't pick it up. She's kind of, you know, after she got snake bit by Peter Quayle's wife the first time, I think, you know, that the relationship is kind of like she's not going to be open again. But it's like, I don't really give a crap really about her. I want her to get to the brass tacks of what she was supposed to do. When she goes and confronts Peter Quayle's wife, that's what I want Baldwin to be doing right now. Her in this relationship with this cafe girl and, you know, I guess,
but whatever. See, she was saying to see, this is why I think this is going to be a larger part of her arc or whatever we're going to call it. She was saying, going to Claire and saying, look, I can finish it. I can be done. You still have 3 targets. What if the barista is one of the targets? Like, she got the gun and put it under the damn mattress. Like,
I think she got the gun because the last time she was sleeping with somebody and the girl got up and left, somebody came into the room and tried to kill her. That's why.
Okay, that too. But yeah.
I mean, if she is, but I mean, we're still not 100% certain on who the targets are, and why she's being sent to kill them. I guess in the beginning of the episode, that little cell of others on this side they want to kill everybody on our side, I guess. So we don't know who the targets are. Targets could be, what's his name? Schiff. It could be Peter Quayle. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it's got to be important people on Good Howard's side. So we don't know that's why I want to get to Baldwin's mission already. If the barista is a target, fine. She better be very, very important. She better be the daughter of somebody very, very important, or the sister or the cousin or something. Because
that's what I'm thinking.
I don't really give a crap about her love life at this point. That stuff is happening. We need to get Baldwin moving again.
Yeah. And I have to say, I liked this episode. I might ding it a few points, because there wasn't a hell of a lot. Like, there was Howard here, but it just seemed like it was more focused on every other aspect of every other character that's in the show, more so than Howard and Howard.
Except for the Blade Runner scene, which I thought
was... Yeah, except for that, yeah.
So I thought that was really well done. And, good, bad Howard confronting Peter Quayle and his hooker.
Get the fuck out of here.
I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
And that scene with bad Howard and the butcher's wife, I thought that was really
good. That was so touching. Like,
I felt so bad for her, because she's just like, she knew something was shady about, you know, her husband, but, you know, she loved him, so, you know, and Bad Howard has to kind of break it to her and just accept the... I just felt bad for her in that situation, because she just has no idea what's going on. She has no idea. I don't even think, because remember, not everybody knows that there's two worlds. It seems like it's just a select few that know that there's two worlds. So, like, the regular public, they have no idea that there's another Earth and other people over there, so...
Yeah, it's just so crazy. Let's see, what else is going on here? Oh, we've got Ian, you know, throwing his dick around. We talked about that with the interrogation scene.
Right.
Let's see.
Trying to make us hate him. Because, I mean, I'm trying not to hate that guy. But I think they're writing him, so I'm supposed to hate this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Mr. Pope.
Alexander Pope, yep.
This guy, man, we don't know. He's the Machiavellian puppet master of this whole situation.
And I've seen that guy before somewhere.
Viva Vendetta. He was in Viva Vendetta. That's the first time I've ever seen him. I think his name is Stephen Ray, R-E-A. But, he's essentially... behind, it looks like everything.
Yeah.
He might be the one that do we confirm, is he the one that is behind Baldwin being hired to kill somebody? I'm not
I,
I'm,
certain.
I don't know, but we know as of this episode, he's the one that, you know, had the house taken out.
Right.
Or the whatever that address is, because he's like, oh, I need a cleanup crew or whatever. Like, that whole phone call thing, it was like, wow.
These damn. Little coded messages. That's the old espionage thing, where wrong number.
Wrong number.
Dry cleaners. But no, I think this was the most Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy episode of I think this season, I think, other than maybe like the first one. Because you have all of this espionage, double talk, back dealing, my wife's the mole, but I can't make her know she's the mole, that I know she's the mole, and everybody thinks I know that I'm the mole. It's this very, very cool espionage stuff.
Yep. The Alexander Pope actor, he was Cardinal Richelieu in the 2001 The Musketeer.
I referenced V for Vendetta.
There's yeah.
No way I'm referencing The Musketeer.
Nobody can beat. He was in The Crying Game. He was Fergus in The Crying Game.
The Crying Game. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Probably because on purpose, because that movie scarred me.
Oh, man. But yeah, like, I'm hoping next episode we get more JK, like, more JKisms, because it's like, it's just not enough Howard.
You're gonna have I'm assuming a confrontation at that Fahrenheit 451 house.
Yeah.
Bad Howard and, see now, is Blacklist gonna go to Bad Howard and tell him that Peter Quayle's the mole? Is Blacklist going to try and take care of it himself because he's got this trigger happy trigger man on his Blacklist has that guy who already shot good Baldwin.
Yeah.
So is he going to just try and take out Peter Quayle, or is Peter Quayle that whole situation? Peter Quayle is in a sense fucked. So I'm just trying to figure out if I'm him, what would I do? I think I would call Blacklist and be like, look, the mole's my wife. Please, it looks like it's me. It's not me. The mole's my wife.
Yeah.
But even then, even if he does that, Blacklist probably just kill them both because he can't be sure. So I don't know.
Yeah, because he was gonna. Because when he went to have the guy kill Baldwin's counterpart Nadia, like he was gonna kill Howard too. Like Howard was standing right there on the stage. Good Howard was.
Yeah.
Right. So like I don't think Mr. Blacklist is. I don't think he's going to hesitate on having anybody killed.
I think he'd rather burn down the forest in terms of just to be sure I'll kill him too. But I don't know.
And this
might
whole
take out Schiff, might take out that whole family.
Mm-hmm. And this whole thing with the world, like we get like a like you said with the cell phone, no cell phone thing. We get the differences at this point. We're getting more and more of the differences, but like wow, vastly different. Like last episode, we got the whole information on the flu epidemic and all that, but like the fact that one of these infiltrators basically thinks that none of the people in this version of Berlin deserve to do or whatever live or whatever. It's like damn.
Yeah, they that little terrorist cell or
whatever whatnot, they are.
I mean, and if they're gonna try and what their plan is, their plan and Baldwin's targets are kind of what I want them to get focus on now, because if you take away Baldwin's love life, she hasn't done anything since the first episode.
Yeah, no. So, she hasn't done anything since your favorite moment of her when she got shot in the face.
Got that little Joker scar, the prettiest gunshot wound to the face you'll ever see in a movie, in a TV show.
Yep, pretty much, yeah. Hey, look, it's Joker's daughter. That's a character she could play.
Again, I'd just like to say, if a bullet went through your cheek, you would have no teeth left. The bullet didn't just, bounce off her teeth and go the other way. It would go through her cheek, all of her teeth, the teeth on the other side, and her other cheek. But apparently, because of this show, maybe he just grazed her. But it looked like it went through her mouth, because I swear she pulled a bullet out of her mouth. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to rewatch that episode.
I don't know if it went directly through, like,
did she pull a bullet out of her mouth? Didn't she pull a bullet?
Yeah,
out of
yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, I think you did see that correctly, but I don't think it was a through and through. I don't think it went through her whole face. That's my thing. I think it, like, you know how when, like, if you watch Forensic Files, oh, the bullet got lodged in blah, 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 between right. the femur and the whatever, like, is my point. Like, I think you're right. It did hit her in the face, and she did have to dig it out of her face, but, like, maybe her jawline, or it you know, maybe
the,
she would, maybe
impact
she
would have shattered all of her teeth. If I hit you in the face with a baseball bat, it would shatter your teeth. Now, if I did that with a bullet, it's like 20 times a baseball bat. So she should look like a mushmouth at this point. She just she couldn't talk. She should sound like Buffalo Bill. A great big fat person. She should talk just like this the entire time. Because she shouldn't have anything in her mouth. Her tongue should be lacerated. It was a bullet. It wasn't like a beanbag.
So what you're
bullet.
Saying is, she needs to go barreling down the street. Hey, hey, hey!
I need all of her teeth gone. Or again, it's the prettiest gunshot wound to the face you'll ever see.
Yeah, it is. It pretty much is. Still, so many questions, have no idea. Like, this whole side stuff, like, I get it, they're supposed to be on Good Howard's side, but apparently Good Howard's side Good Howard's side is not the flu side, that's Bad Howard.
That's Bad Howard's side.
Yeah, but, like, what are they trying? Are they trying to make the bad side good? Are they trying to take over the good side? I mean, that would be obvious.
Seems
if trying
like the bad Howard side is behind the everything. Far side, which is good Howard side. So I think the bad Howard side is trying to equal the playing field somewhat. They blame the good Howard side for the flu epidemic, so they're probably going to try and do a kind of retribution because of that. Because they've been trying to, every time you see a meeting between the two sides, they were like, we weren't responsible for the flu epidemic. We weren't responsible. They keep bringing that up. So I think this sect does not believe them, and they're going to try and inflict some kind of global whatever on them. And the good Howard side is just trying to keep the, I don't want to say keep the status quo, but stay at, it seems like they have a leg up on the other side. So they just want to keep it where it is and make sure that the bad Howard side doesn't do anything crazy like, you know, send a terrorist cell over here trying to kill everybody, which they already did.
Which they already did, yep. Alrighty then. Yeah, this episode is just crazy. And like I said, that ending.
Yeah, that Claire lady. That Claire lady is not to be trusted. And we're going to have a whole... It reminded me of Total Recall a little bit with Sharon Stone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is like, you know, I think there's going to be, and it's funny because if Peter Quill has to fight that girl's going to whoop Peter Quill's ass. So it'd be in his best interest to tell somebody else, like Bad Howard or Blacklist or somebody, because even if Peter Quill tells Bad Howard and Bad Howard believes him, that's not going to stop Blacklist because Blacklist hates Bad Howard. Mm-hmm. So it's just Quail is screwed in all intents and purposes. He's gonna have to kill the mother of his children or send her to prison at the best case scenario. So
yep, absolutely it is. All right, folks, I think that's gonna do it for us. What would you give episode 6 on a 0 to 5 scale?
I'm giving it a 4.5. I love this episode. I love the little intricate espionage stuff. The only thing that really knocks it down is because I want Baldwin to get into the plot more. She's so separated from everything. The only time she was a part of the plot is when she confronts Claire in the grocery store. Yeah. And it was the foreshadowing of the twist at the end. But everything else, I just need her to get going. Get her in this plot, because all the other characters are firing all cylinders for me except for her.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna give it a 3.5. There wasn't.
You want your JK?
Yes, that's the whole point of the series. Like I said at the very first episode, unless I actively looked up any of the other stars, he's the only one I know. And I'm not just giving this episode that rating. 3.5 is still a very respectable rating. It's not like it's a 1.5 or a 0 or a 2. Like, it's very middle ground. The rest of the episode was amazing. The rest of the episode was easily a 4.5. But the fact that there's not enough, like, that interrogation scene or that lie detector scene, that was not enough. And Bad Howard had, like, two scenes.
Two really good scenes,
but not enough.
You're greedy. You're a greedy. You're a JK greedy person.
That's right. You just
want all the JK.
I am a greedy J. Jonah Jameson motherfucker.
Parker!
That's right. Here, let me put on this Spider-Man suit.
How about meat? I'll give you a nice piece of meat. That's all I need.
We can't do it Tuesday. Let's do it Wednesday. We can't do it Wednesday. Move it to Thursday. Page 5 is filled. Go to page 7. Page 7 is no good.
There's a door.
There's the door. That's right. Like, God. I know. That's so sad. I don't think, and you'll have to remind me or not, we're way off topic at this point, folks, but it's J.K. Simmons, and it's a J.K. Simmons show, so it's kind of on topic. I'm pretty sure they did not put him as J. Jonah Jameson in Homecoming.
No, they can't, because he's Jim Gordon in the DC Universe. So, no. They gotta recast, and I've already said if you're gonna recast anybody for J. Jonah Jameson other than J.K. Simmons, I say John C. McGinley. But I don't know if that's ever gonna happen. But I think the only person that can carry those shoes and there or fill those shoes, which are huge shoes to fill, because there's only one J. Jonah Jameson in my eyes, is J.K. Simmons. But if I need to get another one, John C. McGinley could do it.
Yeah, that's true. In live action, anyway, animation, the only one that counts is Ed Asner.
Ed Asner.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Counterpart, folks, if you haven't been watching it, please go back to the beginning and watch it from the beginning, because it is a really, really good series. And as we've talked about before, it's only going to be 10 episodes for the first season. I mean, you could watch essentially you could watch this within 2 weekdays. 2 weeks worth of weekdays, like Monday to Friday, you could watch this show one episode a night, and in 2 weeks you could be done with this show. Once obviously it finishes itself, because it's airing through, like I said last time, or one other episode I mentioned.
I think it's a good binge show too. Like,
oh yeah,
episode by episode, but I think once it finishes, you can burn through these quick.
Oh yeah, well, like I said,
these cliffhangers. I was like, no, what? No, wait.
Like I said, with this episode, episode 6, Act Like You've Been Here Before, that ending with the reveal that it's Claire as his wife, and I'm like, crap. And then I'm like, wait, what? That's it? Nothing else? Credits? Why? No! Ah, another week!
So yeah,
this is why I usually like doing seasonal television reviews, because I don't even care. I know everyone hates the between 22 and 24 episode long seasons of shit, but okay. I don't care. I would rather binge those than have to wait a week for a television show that is amazingly good, as amazingly good as this is. Like, Starz should have made a deal with Netflix to put all 10 episodes out immediately. Like a Voltron thing, or a Jessica Jones thing, or something. Well, speaking of Jessica Jones, we got to get back to that, too. We still never did that series.
It's good.
Season 2 is coming up.
It's good.
I'm sure. All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. Where can people find you online, sir?
Trying to be DJV on Twitter. My show's The Simplicity Reviews Podcast. Twitter is @SimpleTweeters.
Awesome. You can go to geekcastradio.com. What's the simplistic website?
Simplisticreviews.net.
All right. You can go over there to check out all their content. Go to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode and all of our other episode podcasts. You can find me at TFGWinMic on Twitter. You can follow at geekcastradio on Twitter as well. Don't fight over the remote control, folks. Everybody just needs to sit down and watch Counterpart, and we will catch you next week with Counterpart Season 1. Episode 7.
Early. Punctual. You seem nervous.
Terrified.
Howard, you remember Casper?
Please keep movement to a minimum.
It's now or never.
No thanks, not hungry.
You have no idea what you're missing.
Read each card carefully.
Fred specialized in the job of making very quaint wax toys.
Next card.
Five wine experts jokingly quizzed sample Chablis.
Next.
Six big devils from Japan quickly forgot how to waltz.
Time for new pangrams, mate.
Ready.
You know the drill, Howard. I'm going to ask questions. Starting back at the embassy. The hour you had with Emily. What did you two discuss after I left?
I don't remember.
Not in the mood to cook up a story?
I just don't remember.
Before she and I left, you told her to light a candle at St. Christopher's. It was a coded exchange. What did it mean?
I don't know.
I have a word with you, please.
Everything steady, not even a pupillary response. His defenses are getting better. Best he's ever been.
I can't keep giving handouts.
No. I can pay. Here, for the other day. Thank you for being kind.
Yo, an espresso.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah. It's a beach in Croatia. Do you like it? I took it.
I like it.
Thank you. I'm Greta.
Nadia.
You new to the city?
Yes.
Cash like that, you can go to any restaurant.
Coffee's good here.
No, it's not. What do you do while you're here?
Nothing, just work.
And what do you do for fun? Well, if you like to hang out, there's this all-day party. You should check it out. It's fun.
Is your name Lamar Young?
Sorry, do we know each other?
I was a colleague of an old friend of yours, Walter Atwood. He was a director of my office.
You knew Walter?
Can we talk? Please, come in. I don't recall you being at Walter's funeral.
He was private, as a married man.
How well did you know him?
Well enough to know.
Well,
At least we can dispel with a pretense. You know, you're the first of his colleagues who's ever come to me. 5 years after he died. Why wait until now?
He was 49 years old and died of a heart attack. Right?
Yes. The stress of that job. I used to tell him he needed to slow down.
Do you remember anything he was troubled by back then?
It's been years, I mean. The usual pressures, he used to complain he was being pushed out of his position. Paranoia. He was always inferring he was being watched.
Watched?
Yeah. I just thought he was stressed.
Do you remember when you last saw him?
I was supposed to see him that day, Hotel Concorde. I was sitting in that room, waiting. Walter was always the one to call. That was the arrangement. I didn't find out until the obituary. Days later. Until then, I just thought it was his way of ending things. Are you saying we should be suspicious about Walter's death?
No. I'm just tying up loose ends.
I don't know how to do this. I know you give him these numbers so he can contact you when he's in trouble.
I think you should come over.
Thank you for letting me come in today. I realize you've been talking to Ian, but I thought you should hear it from me. I confess that I have been having some personal difficulties lately.
Yeah, I know.
And recently, it's been getting worse.
So what am I supposed to say here, Emily? I mean, you've been with the department. How long? You're an institution, and you do all of this with impunity, going over my head whenever you want.
Yes, I'm very sorry about that.
So you tell me, Emily, how am I supposed to react?
Well, you did mention the possibility of my having some time off to get my life in order, and I think you're right.
Take whatever time you need.
Thank you.
How did that go?
Well, she keep personnel off my ass for a little bit. You look like you had a rough night.
There's boys in records with their posturing and their competitive drinking. They barely hide their erections.
And
did you dig as deep as you could?
To the very bottom. We closed the bar.
My condolences.
Look, that address in Potsdam. None of them has ever seen or heard of it.
State records say it's privately owned.
Not by us. Sorry. Wish I could have found something better.
Nothing something.
Oh, by the way, I saw Ian coming through this morning. He had your ex with him. He was heading into oversight.
What's your trick, Howard? Lying like you do. So comfortably.
A trick? Maybe I just really don't know.
You've dragged Emily into a mess. First it was that rendition bullshit, nearly got her killed, and now this. The address you got from Edgar, what are you two looking for?
I'll tell you what I'm looking for. How about a damn good explanation why I'm professionally obligated to tell you anything other than fuck off?
Look, what you do over there is not my purview. Section 2, fine. But this, here, this is my turf. Now what am I missing, you fuck?
Well, she really has a type, doesn't she?
And you think this is funny?
Well, I mean, look at it. A few years ago, she leaves me, a colossal asshole by all accounts. She's free from the worst husband anyone can conjure. And what does she do? She runs off with a guy like you.
A guy like me?
You know, the whole tough guy routine, it's another version of the same thing.
Fuck you.
Hit a nerve, did I?
You actually think we have something in common? You, always fleeing this life for the promise of another. You think we're alike?
I'm a pretty good judge.
Then where were you, Howard? Where were you years ago? When she was at her worst, bottoming out on detox. Where the hell were you then if we were so alike? I was there. Sat by her bedside, reading to her every night. When everyone else in her life had given up on her, I was there. You've not one inkling of what it was like for her and I. You couldn't begin to understand. Now take some responsibility for once in your fucking life.
I'm trying to.
Good. Now what's this address?
You're just wasting time.
You're gonna get her killed.
I would never let that happen.
Do you still love your ex-wife, Howard?
Be careful with that.
Outside now, please. Have you completely taken leave of your senses?
Just trying to get a few things straight.
You bring him in here, give him a lie exam in front of the whole office.
Well, you're defending him now.
If you have a question, you come to me.
I did. At the hospital. You told me you would lay low for a while. That we'd do this thing together. That's what we agreed. What's changed between then and now?
He's helping me with my investigation.
You fucking serious?
You see, I tell you the truth, and then you shut me down.